Second hour here, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie Stanley. Nick Keyser producing, 2 days away from becoming a married man. And
still time to go to Mexico.
And as we do every Friday at this time, we welcome in our next guest, the host of the very popular Stillman & Company program, 2 to 6 here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And a guy who, I mean, I don't know the last time he beat me in Jared versus Joe. Like, I don't know. Are we talking, has it happened in the calendar year 2024? I don't know. But anyway, it's Jared Stillman. Jared, how are you?
It's been probably about a month, Joe. I mean, I'm slumping. I need some help. What I need to do is what Floyd used to call the Sally rule, which is whatever I'm thinking, I just need to go with the opposite. And then that might give me a chance at Jared versus Joe.
Very Costanza-like.
Well, it's such a silly concept to have a judge who's not impartial. I'm surprised that you're winning. A non-impartial judge judging a sports debate.
It's, you think, like Caroline's not impartial?
Of course not. And it's like the dumb show on ESPN where they award points for things. And this is what Jared grew up in, the culture where, like, you have to win. You have to win. You have to win an argument. That's what Jared grew up in, and that's part of your problem, frankly.
I mean, wait a minute. I didn't grow up there. I grew up in during the PTI era where they didn't, you know, have to win arguments.
Well, PTI is excellent, but Around the Horn is terrible, and you probably watched both.
Okay, real quick. You just mentioned the Floyd's thing with Sally. What'd you call it? The Sally theory?
It's the Sally rule.
The Sally rule. Okay, what is – someone asked me on the text line. Cody asked, do you all believe the right tackle theory by Stillman? What is that?
So you've never heard the right tackle
theory? Oh, is this your thing, like when Floyd said they don't have a right tackle?
Yeah, before the 2015 season.
Okay, so – but what's the – I guess I just got thrown up by the theory.
I asked him. I barely knew the guy. I'd worked with him for like 3 days, and I hadn't been like working with him. This was before we did our first show. I was just trying to make small talk. I was like, Floyd, Titans going to be any good this year? He looked at me and goes – we don't have a right tackle. I was like, it's kind of a big deal, right? He's like, right tackle? You know, and so, like, right now I look at the Titans. I'm like, look, I know they went out and added a bunch of players. And, you know, Brian Callahan went on with Bussing with the Boys. And he told the boys, you know, that he's got, you know, expectations for this. Not going to give out predictions or anything, but that he feels good about this team and the additions they made. And, you know, the red meat for the fans to be like, yeah. Even though all the pundits and Vegas and everybody outside of Nashville thinks the Titans stink. And I mean, at the end of the day, I look at it, I'm like, they don't have a right tackle. So it's hard for me to get on board for this season.
Gotcha. So, all right, hold on. Yeah, you've gone through his tweets. Yeah. You put a lot of work into this. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I prepare.
Okay. All right.
So do you like the Bill Callahan hire?
Yes.
Okay. So, and what in your opinion is a top position coach, what's his job?
The top position coach's job is to coach the players to play better than the average coach would be.
Okay, so like, what did you think of Baker Mayfield before last year?
I actually liked Baker. I thought he got a raw deal in Cleveland.
But what did you think of his production?
I thought that Baker was good, and I thought he got a raw deal.
All right. Well, you're foolish on that. I just want to bring some people to the table.
Like, I mean, I still think Sam Darnold's good. So if you want to go crazy on me on that, you go on crazy on that.
All right. Well,
that's crazy.
You're foolish. Trey McBride, you know, I'm an Arizona receiver. He had 50 more catches last year than he had the year before. Jalen Johnson, a quarterback that we all discovered last year for Chicago. Passer ratings against him in his first 3 years, 107, 102, 95. Last year, 51. Maybe the best corner in the league. Deron Bland from Dallas. No interceptions for TDs in 2022. Last year, 5. Outstanding. Then you go to offensive linemen. Cushenberry in 2022 wasn't very good. Last year, he was terrific, and he got himself this giant contract. Kevin Dotson of the Rams got significantly better last year. Luke Gedecky of the Bucks got significantly better last year.
Is this your way of saying you think Petit Frere can get better?
Why in May are you eliminating the possibility that a position coach that you love could take out of a pool of right tackles a guy and get him to a place where he's the worst guy on a much improved line and a functional right tackle? Why in May is that impossible to you?
Because I don't think you can fudge it at right tackle. I think at some point there has to be a level of talent that you have to have, no matter who your coach is. Like, you can't put me at right tackle and say, all right,
well,
Bill Callahan,
that.
Right. Coach him up.
Yeah, I hate
that's
to break
what
the
it
Titans
to you, are dealing
but
with,
Nicholas
Paul.
Petitfrere is
he
significantly
stinks.
Better than
he
you.
He stinks, Paul. And not only that, he's yeah. unreliable.
Yeah. Okay, the unreliable part and the – you see, this is the thing. This is where
– your ability to say a guy stinks something that you don't really understand the intricacies of is remarkable. Bill Callahan has given a vote of confidence to those right tackles by them not bringing in, for example, the guy who you never said you were pushing for because
Jermaine
he's
Illuminor.
Your friend's guy.
That's
no,
not,
Pete.
No,
Pete. You were pushing Pete,
no.
Pete for months.
No, here's where you're wrong
he's
about
your
this.
Friend's
that,
client.
No.
You need
here's
to be
where
transparent
you're wrong about
on
this,
that.
Paul, is that when they made the move for J.C. Latham and they said we're going to flip him to left tackle? I said, well, now you're not going to get Pete because Pete's a left side of the line.
No,
player.
But before that, you were Pete. But you never
because
said
because they
the
needed
reason,
a left tackle.
But you never said the reason I want
even
Pete
though you think
is because he's
Bill
my friend's
Callahan
client.
Can take. I wanted Pete because he can play left tackle.
Pete played left tackle
Peter
for one
Skoronski's
season. He's a left guard.
The same guy. I'm on Peter Skoronski's ass every day when you guys make excuses about, well, he had an appendectomy, so it's okay that he sucked the whole
Dude,
season.
This is the funny thing you're saying. You want very much a tackle, and Andrus Pete is a left guard who played tackle for 1 year and had reasonable success. So you got to be honest at least.
So it's better than what you have on the entire offensive line because Petitfrere's had no.
You got to be intellectually honest.
But see,
the guy played
I'm
9 years
honest.
Of left guard, and you're pushing him as tackle
because he can play
because
tackle
he had 1 year.
So
because
Jared,
he's done it and he's been good at it, Paul.
Right, but see, so,
you want to take players who suck like Jalen Duncan. Jalen Duncan's terrible, and you want to say, let's see if Jalen Duncan can go out there and be good. I
want to
take a guy who's actually had success in the NFL, and I'm like, let's put him there and see what happens.
I want to let a very good coach look at players who have played, A, 1 year in Duncan, and B, 1 year in three games at Petitfrere, give him time with players to judge and assess and mold and craft.
I
don't think that's unreasonable.
Right.
I'm
well,
not in a
like
panic.
You sound like a Titan Twitter fan is what you sound like right now. Who's like, no, the right. same guy,
like
guy who went from in J-Rob we trust to he's the problem. That's what
yeah,
that's
but,
the kind
no,
of guy
Jared, you're a panicker.
No.
Because it gets you ratings.
That's the kind
because
of
you
guy.
Go, oh, my God, they don't have a right tackle in May.
They,
what are we going to do?
They
Will
don't
Levis
have a right tackle.
His back.
They didn't have a right tackle in March. They didn't have a right tackle in February when Brian Callahan took the job. I sat down with him on the show the next day, and I told him the right tackle story. Because right tackle
sure
is
a fascinating story
I'm
that
sure
Floyd once said a team didn't have a right tackle.
And
if
this
you
team
think
this doesn't
is
have
a
right tackle.
A fascinating story, you're mistaken.
But, Jared, they're saying that they think they do. Here's the thing. I think the biggest thing you do, this is where.
That's not what they said.
Hold on, Jared. This is where you confuse me sometimes because you get very meticulous with some things, and which is great. Like, you find things people say, you study the league a lot, you have a lot of good informed commentary.
Thank you.
And then, like, you're just like, but Petitfrere sucks!
He
and
does
it's like,
suck!
Jared, like, for example, you are pushing Dylan Raiden. I mean, look, I'm open to the possibility. I'm open to the possibility Petitfrere will be a problem this year, won't be good, but I'm open to the possibility that he'll be good. And the fact that you're closing that off like there's no way. Remember,
no one's ever gotten better in the league.
Exactly.
No
that's a big blind spot you have is that people can't improve.
So
and the thing,
Callahan
hold
so
on,
good.
Jared, hold on. You are saying that Dylan Raiden's will beat him out and play more this year. We watched Dylan Raiden's and Petitfrere. Petitfrere's a rookie. Dylan Raiden's was the one right tackle. Petitfrere was the two. He pretty quickly overtook him. It was pretty clear Petitfrere was a much more talented player and a better option at right tackle as a rookie. We know what's happened since. I'm not saying Petitfrere is going to be great, but for you to say with the information we have, no way, he sucks, he stinks, they have no right tackle, that's just, I think it is intellectual dishonesty. I do.
Well, dishonesty is when you're saying what you don't think, and I think
well,
what I think.
Okay, it's bad analysis. How
right,
about that?
Let me hit you with another
you
piece of bad
you can have that
analysis.
Opinion. Hold on, wait a minute, Paul. I think you brought up this idea about, like, you know, well, we're not giving this guy a chance under Bill Callahan. Why didn't they give Andre Dillard a chance under Bill Callahan?
Because they know he's terrible.
Oh, right. So he's a certain terrible that is not allowed to get better.
Jared,
he's bad. We know he's bad.
Who's worse than Andre Dillard is allowed
Jared,
to get better.
Jared, there's intellectual dishonesty.
No,
Andre
I'm
Dillard played
the point
4 years in Philadelphia.
Will suck under Bill Callahan.
He played 4 years.
Even though Bill Callahan's a good coach.
You can't do math.
Well, that's
he
fine.
Played 4 years in Philadelphia. He's a 5-year veteran, not a 20-game veteran. Here's some more from you. I'm going to go through your Twitter.
Oh.
Burks is a backup, just like Weaver, Malik, and Avery, you said. Like
correct.
Weaver, yes. He's going to be part of a rotation that they'll need to play. Like Willis? No. Willis is never going to play, probably doesn't make the roster. Burks is in no way a backup like Malik. He is in no way a backup like Avery, who you hope never plays more than special teams. See the difference? Those are not the same level backups. Weaver needs to play. Burks is going to need to play. Malik needs to not be on the roster. Avery, if he makes the roster, needs to do nothing but play special teams. See how you're grouping together players that are not the same level of backup?
So I don't – what? How are they going to get Burks in there? They got one football. They got six guys they're going to throw it to before they throw
dude,
it
dude, a guy down. Runs a deep route. He's tired. He comes out. The next receiver comes in for at least a snap. That's how football works. We'll be back after these words.
So he's going to play one snap.
We'll be back after
so
these
that,
words.
So that's Trey Avery's role,
all
isn't
right.
it?
You want to stay for another one, Jared?
Sure.
You oh, you must.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I've got
well,
so much more.
Talk,
you're defeated.
Because every
he's
time you
breathe.
Say something – and then I go
be
to
sure.
talk. It's like, ah, shut up!
Save
so
it.
Let me
I didn't say
this.
Shut up one time.
By the way, I want to respond to one other thing too. Because Joe, you said
do it on the other
you,
side.
Hold on,
we've got a break.
Said,
oh we've got a break. Gosh. We're running the show. It's our show. We got a break. Hold your breath.
All right,
we'll be back. Robbie and Rex Road 102.5, 106.3. The game. Join Cromwell Media along with local athletes and musicians at Hermitage Golf Course on June 20th for the 615 Open. Make a difference while supporting Souls for Souls. Every $20 raised goes to a new pair of shoes for a local child experiencing homelessness. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, which has become an episode of Stilly and Pauly, which, again, is my brainchild as a radio show. It is my
yeah,
dream.
Nobody could have thought of it.
I'm trying to imagine... Oh, I came up with the name for the show, okay? So before I let you two jackals start screaming
Stilly
at each other
Stilly and Pauly
again,
you came up with?
Yeah, there's a name for a show, Stilly and Pauly.
My God, it's genius.
Well,
who
it
else
is.
Could have come up with that?
Whatever, man. I copyrighted
Stilly,
it.
Stilly, he's a genius.
I copyrighted it, and you will listen to me and be my employee.
So. Each time that's said,
first
he makes
on
money.
The billing.
He makes money, yeah.
Yeah, Stilly.
That won't last
it
long.
It just works better
it
with
does.
Stilly
it does
first
work
in
better.
The billing.
Hey,
it just does.
Stilly, I've been told if you want your name either first or last. Is the way it goes. So we both win. I want to read you a tweet. I'll give you time to answer for it. But I'm going to read you
so
the
wait,
tweet.
So wait, you're not going to let Jared respond? Doesn't Jared
no,
have
we
like a response?
Done. We were done.
We were done with that
I'm going to read
Twitter
you this
Paul.
Tweet. I'm
gonna go ahead, Paul.
I'm going to read you this tweet. I'm going to comment on it, and then I'm going to give you a chance. All right. Here's what you wrote. It feels like the Titans really need to figure out what Will Levis is, a franchise quarterback, an okay starter, a backup, etc., before they move into the new stadium. Here are my thoughts. They move into the new stadium in 2027. So you're saying that by year five, they need to know about Levis. He's not even under contract in year five. I hate to break it to you. They're going to need to know about Will Levis a little sooner than before, a year after his contract's up. So you're on a little slower train than they need to be. This is a shock. You've already decided that Nick Petitfrère can't play, but you're giving Levis until a year after his contract's over for the Titans to have to decide about him. Your thoughts on this idiocy?
So I don't think that every quarterback, you know, that you know right away whether or not the guy's going to be a good quarterback or a franchise quarterback or a backup-type quarterback. And I use Mariota as the example. I mean, they didn't know until year five whether or not Mariota was the guy, and they found out he wasn't. I think there are teams right now that have quarterbacks that don't necessarily know about their quarterbacks, and they're put in spots where it's like, gosh, we're going to have to pay this guy $50 million if he ends up being the guy or not. You know, you used Baker in the last segment as an example of a quarterback. They didn't know, and then they just decided, well, you know, we don't want to give him a big contract, so we're going to move off of him, and we're going to give Deshaun Watson the big contract, which has been an unmitigated disaster. But, I mean, just to say that, like, oh, they'll know because his contract's up, there's no guarantee that they'll know for sure what he is or what he isn't at that point because, again, that's why we play the actual football.
But they're going to have to decide something, Jared. He's not under contract. They can't decide in year five He's not going to be under contract. They're going to have to make a contract decision.
Well, they can use before franchise that. Tag.
Yeah, well, that's making contract decision. You're.
But that's not the kind of contract decision that we're talking about.
Well, that's big money contract decision.
I mean, I hear what you're saying on Mariota, but I mean, I think it started to trend, started to go the wrong way in 17, and then I think by the time you got to, 18 was up and down, then he's not able to play in the Colts game. By the time you got to year five, it was definitely trending away, right?
About the Giants and Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, now to use your phrase, which I use very rarely, sucks. That's established.
But he didn't when he had them in the divisional round of the playoffs, and they ended up giving him that contract extension because they didn't really know, and they wanted to franchise.
Right, so he's an example.
But they stupidly, did that thing where it's like whoever takes the deal gets the deal, and whoever doesn't gets tagged, and so they tagged Barkley when they probably should have just overpaid Barkley a little bit so that they didn't have to overpay Jones. But they did give Jones the contract, and this was a year after they declined the fifth-year option on Jones because they didn't believe in Jones. So they went from not believing in Jones to believing in Jones to not believing in Jones, and that happens at the quarterback position. I would say right now, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, are you certain you've got a franchise quarterback?
Absolutely.
And he's been in the league
for
not.
These teams convince themselves they are. These guys were talking about it yesterday, and this is the problem with NFL quarterbacking. Everybody wants the next Mahomes. If your guy isn't the next Mahomes, you have to make a pay decision on Trevor Lawrence, on Tua Tagovailoa, on Kyler Murray. And there's no way to mid-pay a quarterback because of the franchise tag and the second-year franchise tag, which goes up a certain percentage. You've got to pay him like he's Patrick Mahomes, at least for 2 years, and that screws your whole thing up. And there's no way in year 5 and 6 to pay a guy as a middling guy and check him out. You have to pay him like royalty. And I think that's part of the NFL system that's broken.
What really ticks me off is that you guys are going to end up yelling at each other for a half hour. I can't even get you to like scream at him about his stupid, the cap is fake garbage.
No, well, man,
that would be more productive than you spying on his tweets.
Well, here's one of his tweets. Everyone who makes a TV decision lives in New York, and so they think everyone cares about the Knicks. Do you know that ESPN is based in Bristol, Connecticut?
Do you know where their executives live?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a secret about I've been to Bristol, Connecticut several times.
Have I, Paul.
I used to work for them.
Wow.
You got there and you sat behind their Sports Center desk and got a picture taken.
They don't have a rule who says, hey, yeah, you're allowed in Bristol, Connecticut. You're not. It's not like it's the most special place in the world either.
I've been there too, for the record, so yay!
And also, I would say this.
An employee versus a tourist is somewhat significant.
ESPN is not run the same way or by the same people that it was run by when you worked there.
Now, listen, I just want to tell you, it's close to Boston as well as New York. And if you think the coverage like last year of the Patriots, as the Patriots got bad, isn't influenced by them being near Boston, if you think Red Sox coverage, if you think Bruins coverage isn't also influenced by where Bristol, Connecticut is.
They don't talk about hockey.
You're crazy. So I want to hear you, as the Celtics stuff gets churned up now, bitch about the Celtics the way you bitched about the Knicks. So let's stay true to that.
Well, here's what I would say about that.
And the Knicks were compelling. The Knicks are a likable team.
They did go overboard with the homerism, but
that's different. So
that's
put
different
that on Stephen
story.
A. That's Stephen A, who's allowed to do whatever he wants. He doesn't answer to management.
So what they're going to do is they're going to talk about the two, semifinals equally because they have them, but especially the Boston one because they have that on their, channel. But I don't think that it's going to be like over the top, oh my God, they won't shut up talking about the Celtics. Whereas with ESPN, they went all in on the Knicks. If you watch that Game 7 broadcast, home game.
It was fantastic.
The way they talked about it. And so what happens is everybody at ESPN thinks everybody cares about the Knicks because they care about the Knicks. But if you look across the country at the TV ratings, the Knicks do not have a Dallas Cowboys-like effect, a Kentucky basketball-like effect on the overall country. Like, people are not tuning in because it's the Knicks unless you live in New York. And I think, again, ESPN the other day, on Wednesday, 3 days after they've been eliminated, they had a segment of, do the Knicks have a roster good enough to win the championship? And it's like, guys, move on. Most of the country does not care about the Knicks.
It's still more about big market than their fandom. And guess who has a tiny market compared to the Knicks? The Pacers. So if you think that they're going to talk a lot about the Pacers, Nobody cares. If you think nobody cares about the Knicks, check who cares about the Pacers.
You know, I muted Jared on Twitter, I think a couple years ago. That these tweets aren't – I mean, I expect a little bit more, like, just crazy stuff. I don't think
– he's had a relatively mild week.
Yeah, kind of a chill week. Is this a chill week for you, Jared, or are you, like, calming down?
I just think I've been keeping it real this week. Outside of that right tackle position, which you guys just think Bill Callahan – you guys are like the guys on – I can get anybody off of Twitter to say, Bill Callahan can do it, and give the salute.
Okay. Well, we will address that without you next segment. Thank you for the extra segment, Jared. Have a good show today,
too. Just remember this. Players can get better.
This is true. Players can get better. Like your precious Dylan
Raiden.
You
don't allow for it. It's funny. Dylan Raiden. He won't give a right tackle a 21st game. But he's giving Will Levis. He's giving Will Levis his franchise tag year. At the most important position, you get 5 years. But at right tackle, you can't get 21 games.
On that note, thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared. Take care. We determine when it ends. Bye-bye. Cut it.
No. The host of the show, not the backup host.
Hold on.
Gets the guys.
Rex, show them who's boss.
I was gonna let you say your sentence, Jared. Now you're giving up. All right.
I'll say it.
Nick, cut it. Damn it.
Oh my gosh, that's the best segment.
It's been great to be on with you. A backup host, just like Treylon Burks, Trey Avery, Malik Willis, and those guys.
You don't understand. Can't even differentiate backups.
Thank you, Jared.
See you guys.
We'll be back. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.